Jesus loves him, but the rest of us think he's a putz. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
To make someone happy, make just one someone happy. Make just one heart-to-heart you. You sing to one smile that cheers you, one face that lights when it nears you, one girl you're everything to.
Tim, I don't know if I'm going to communicate this the right way.
Okay.
If you win it, I feel like Philip Yancey is the Jimmy Durante of Christian writers.
I think you're right. I really think you're right.
That's how he talked, right, Jimmy?
He didn't talk like that.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I know that's how Philip writes.
It is how Philip writes.
It's so amazing about grace.
Philip Yancey. He's been on our show a number of times before, one of our favorite guests, author of Vanishing Grace, Whatever Happened to the Good News. Mr. Yancey, welcome back to the Drew Marshall Show.
Thank you, and I was thinking more like Rodney Dangerfield.
There we go. There we go. Philip Yancey is the Rodney Dangerfield of Christian writing. No, wait, you know what? I don't even like to say Christian writing, because your books actually go to real people, too.
Wow. Have you met one?
Didn't Bono write something about your book? Wasn't he thrilled about you as a writer? Do you know Bono? Do you hang out with you too? I mean, what's going on?
I have been with him a few times, yeah. They studied one of my books in a small group before their concerts, and we got together here in Denver and then actually at his house in Ireland.
Look at Tim. So Tim the Tool, across the board from me here, is gobsmacked.
Can you adopt me, Philip?
Just the fact that you got that close to Bono is enough. You know, this is living vicariously through you.
Bono is a real person, and in fact, if you summarize what I would hope to accomplish with a book like this, Bono would be a poster child for it. Because here's a guy who is solid as a Christian, principled in the causes that he chooses to promote, and yet he hangs around people who are very unlike him and disagree with him in many ways. I mean, he's just a beautiful example of grace.
I hope when I die, I'm able to have a reputation where they're able to put that on my tombstone. That's my epitaph.
I hope we interview that guy before you die. That's what I'm hoping for.
As opposed to the Groucho Marx epitaph, which is, told you I was sick. So here's the quote, folks. It's a lot to expect authors themselves to live up to the magic of their words, and it's very special when they do. Philip Yancey has a way about him that can only be described as graceful. Not vanishing at all, very present. What's Bono's real name, by the way? Tim, you know this.
Paul Hewson.
There you go. Paul said that, the Apostle Paul. Can you write any more books on grace?
I wrote my first one 15 years ago, is what's so amazing
it's
about
it. 15 years, wow.
Yeah, it's been 15 years, and it actually had a longer title, working title. The working title was, What's So Amazing About Grace, and Why Don't Christians Show More of It? Mm-hmm. And the longer I worked in that book, the more I realized, no, I didn't want to get into that. I was concerned about, various Christians in the United States who thought politics were the example that we ought to follow, you know, the whole moral majority thing. I know it's a different scene in Canada, but there's also a feeling among Christians as a culture grows increasingly secular that we ought to band together, just hang around ourselves, fortify ourselves. And it just didn't seem that's what Jesus was telling us to do. I took out a lot of the material I had in that earlier book, and it seemed like, at least down here, below the border, things got even worse. Jesus said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. He didn't say, I'm sending you into the barn with other sheep just like you so you can be safe. Yeah.
Or I'm sending you out like wolves, right?
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. I'm sending you out like wolves. And it seemed like Christians more and more were choosing one of those alternatives, either hanging around each other all day or going out there to bite people. And that was not the Jesus style. And I wanted to revisit it and bring up that other part.
I really want to know if you're as perfect as I think you are.
I'll put my wife on the phone.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. I want to know the last time you were a jerk and did not exercise grace.
The best time to catch me is on a computer helpline. When I have a phone tree, and after 25 minutes, they put me to some person who doesn't speak my language very well, who tells me to do all these things that I have just been doing, and I find out I know more about my computer than he does.
Yeah,
that's when it's hard for me to express grace.
So what does Philip Yancey look like? What does Philip Yancey sound like when his head explodes?
I try to be very restrained, and sometimes I succeed, and sometimes I don't. I try to say, I have tried that. And then I'll say, may I speak to your supervisor, please? May I speak to your supervisor, please?
Oh, man. Well, your worst day is my dream. If I could just be a little more like you, Philip. I know we're supposed to be a little more like Jesus, but that just seems unreachable. So I'm going to say a little bit more like Philip Yancey.
Well, you don't know what I'm saying to myself inside a car when I get cut off in traffic.
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about Jesus people sharing their faith, especially in the climate we're in right now. I used to be an evangelical.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I am anymore. And one of the main reasons I don't want to have that label is obviously I'm a product of my own culture, so I don't want any labels. But also because I don't care if – I really don't care if people – need to hear the gospel. I don't ever want to smell like I have a Jesus agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to pick that stench up a mile away. You know what I'm saying?
I do. And in fact, in the book, I quote Tim Keller, the pastor in New York. And he says, I don't use the phrase friendship evangelism because it sounds like marketing.
Yes.
I use the phrase friendship because I'm not a friend with a person just so that they will end up being like me. I'm a friend of the person because Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And he's going to be my friend, she's going to be my friend, whether or not they end up converting, agreeing with me. You know, I also refer to this theologian, Miroslav Volf, who grew up in Croatia, so he knows the bad part of religion where they've been fighting wars for hundreds of years. Then he became a professor at Fuller Seminary, and now he's at Yale Divinity School. And he said, in the old days, you could communicate your faith head-to-head. So Billy Graham could rent the largest stadium in any city, 100,000 people, and he stands up and says, the Bible says! And they all say, oh, well, it must be true. The Bible says it. Billy Graham says it. You try that now, you're not going to get 100,000 people, and half of those people are going to say, well, so what? I don't believe the Bible. The Koran says something different.
Yeah.
And Volf says the best way to communicate faith in that kind of culture is what he calls hand to heart to head. You reach out with your hands. You do acts of mercy. You rebuild a house for somebody who blew down in a hurricane, and you touch their hearts. Why are you doing this? Why are you coming down every weekend from Dallas to help me build my house? And then they're open to the head talk, hand to heart to head. It's a different approach, and I think in an increasingly hostile environment is probably the best approach.
Okay, but I'm thinking about the pushback that I've received from many people over the years. A name comes to mind, Ray Comfort, and Ray has chastised me publicly and privately about the fact that I need to be more like him, and that if a house is burning down and people, you know, do I not want to warn people that their house is burning down and rescue them from that, you know, that whole thing. And then I need to be able to give a reason why I believe what I believe. But Mr. Yancey, I'm not even sure if I believe what I believe.
Yeah. I would encourage Mr. Comfort. What's that phrase about comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable, afflicting the comfort. I would encourage him to go back and read there are 10 sermons in the book of Acts. So these are the first Christians. They knew Jesus in person. They'd seen the crucifixion. They'd seen the resurrection. And then they're going out to spread the good news. Find one of those sermons that talks about hellfire and brimstone. There's not one of them. They're there to talk about the transformation in the world that has happened because of Jesus. And, okay, I grew up with hellfire and brimstone. It can be effective in scaring you, but is it really effective in the long term? What got to me was realizing that we do have good news. We have the best news to offer. The best way to live is the way that Jesus set out. read the daily newspaper, see what happens when people live like they want to live. It's a brutal world out there, and Jesus came to teach us a different way to live, a better way to live, better for us, better for the world.
All right, on the phone with Philip Yancey, who has just released another killer book, Vanishing Grace, Whatever Happened to the Good News. Let's talk about communicating faith stuff when, A, you've got a world, at least in North America, running away from faith. Combine that with how do you talk about, you know, Jesus and love, et cetera, and then what, you intentionally leave out the word sin? Can you talk about Jesus? Because what was the point of Jesus? Doesn't Jesus have something to do with sin stuff? And then what is sin? Well, there's got to be judgy stuff there. And then, oh, let's go to, you know, after you die, and then we're going to talk about heaven. Well, if we talk about heaven, then there's hell stuff, and there's judgment all over this.
Well, I believe in sin, but I believe in it in a different way than I did hearing it in the church growing up. If you had asked me back then, Philip, what do you think sin is? And I would have said, sin is God's way of keeping us from having a good time. But if you ask me now, what do you think sin is? I would say, well, sin is God's way of keeping us from hurting ourselves. Because if you take a look at the top 10, and I have a chart, the top 10 health problems in the United States, and it's probably true of Canada too, every one of them are examples of us abusing good things. Number one is smoking. Number two, and very
Wait,
close
you,
to number
Did you say smoking
is
a good thing?
Well, we won't go there. The natural world is a good thing, but abusing the natural world
right, okay,
is not a good thing.
Got it.
Obesity is number two, and there's a whole host of illnesses, as you know, and conditions that come out of that, diabetes and the like. Alcohol abuse, fetal alcohol syndrome, drunk driving, all that. I think alcohol is a good thing, by the way.
Yeah.
And then drug, sex, you know, just go down the list. These are things that...
Wait, hold on. Sex is a good thing?
Sex is a very good thing. God invented it, my goodness.
Standing ovation for Philip Yancey here on the Drew Marshall Show.
Oh, no, and sex. I love this guy.
This is a great show. Okay, sorry, yes?
But, you know, it's things that we're not following the prescription that we've been given for the best life on earth from the very beginning. What is sin? Sin is basically me thinking, I've got a better idea of what works than God has. And it's that simple. And if we abuse that, we're the ones who suffer. Just ask any doctor.
Well, I need to apologize to you for a couple of things. First of all, this is a radio show, and I could talk to you forever, but we can't. And this is the shortest interview I've ever had with Philip Yancey, and I've got about 17 more questions that I want to ask you.
We'll so, just have to do it again sometime.
Well, I hope so. I really do hope so. And I also want to apologize for anybody out there, because in doing the research for today and just kind of bringing myself up to speed where Philip Yancey is, if you have a troll out there that's attacking you online and you ever find out where they live, will you call me?
I'll do it.
Because I'll go chat with him.
All right.
We'll go show him some grace.
I'll show him some grace. Yeah. No, I mean, I don't want to sound like a creepy stalker fan, but, you know, Philip, your book really has impact. And you hear this all the time, man. You know, your book has really impacted people's souls and lives and actions. And you've saved a lot of heart attacks over the years because you've just allowed people to breathe. So thank you for writing what you do and how you do it, man.
Well, there are some trolls out there who attack me, and I've been on some blogs where they just rip me up and down. All you talk about is grace. You're this wishy-washy Mr. Rogers type, you know, and if you read the language that they are writing in, you understand why I wrote this book.
Exactly.
Because they're attacking fellow Christians. You should see what they think about non-Christians.
Yeah.
And we're not communicating as good news. We need a correction in our trajectory.
Very well said. PhilipYancey.com. This was our faithbooks.ca interview today. Philip, Merry Christmas, sir.
And to you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Hello.
Philip Yancey on the Drew Marshall Show.
Carry each other.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.